Brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to come to the sermon time now. For the past several weeks, we have been looking at the sermon series Touched by Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. And last Sunday, Pastor Andrew concluded telling us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the end of the beginning. And this coming sermon series from the book of Colossians, presenting everyone mature in Christ, is a continuation of that. After we are touched by Jesus, our life must never be the same again. And so this morning, we are looking at chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, the life-transforming power of the gospel. You know, how we grow and mature is quite amazing, considering our state of life at birth. You see, each one of us came into this world as totally helpless babies. The birth of my grandson, Joel, on the 1st of September last year was a personal reminder to me. This was Joel at birth. Isn't he a cute little baby boy? And then a month later, this was Joel with some of my family members. And then this is Joel today, 7.5 months later. You see that he has really grown. You see, physically, we couldn't care for ourselves when we were babies. We needed someone to feed us, to change our diapers, to keep us warm when we feel cold. And we had no knowledge, no ability to speak or intelligently communicate, except crying loudly when we are hungry. I don't call that intelligent communication, but anyway, it works. And we didn't even understand what was being said to us. We couldn't coordinate our hands and our feet at birth, and therefore we couldn't do things with our hands, and we couldn't walk. I'm still talking about when we were still babies. And yet we learned to do all these things over a period of time. We learn to understand what people are saying to us. We learn to speak even though we didn't know the language at first. And some of us can even speak a few languages. We learn to use our hands. And yes, we walked. It didn't happen overnight, but it happens over a period of time. Isn't that quite amazing, considering the state of total helplessness and ignorance in which we enter this world at birth? And we learned so quickly that we can do that. Really is amazing. And this process of growth and maturing continues throughout life. Hopefully, we never stop learning and growing and maturing. In fact, all of our experiences in life teach us much about ourselves and other people, especially during this period when we have to stay home and face our family the whole day. We learn about life, and hopefully we become more mature at 12 years old than when we were at birth. More mature at 20 years old than when we were at 12. And of course, we should be more mature when we are 40 than when we were at 20. In other words, we keep growing and maturing. You know, there is a similar process in our spiritual life. We progress gradually from drinking spiritual milk to eating solid spiritual food. We learn how to walk spiritually just as we learn how to walk physically. But you know something? Some Christians don't seem to grow up. They may have been Christians for 10 years or even 20 years or even more than 20 years, but they still behave as newborn spiritual babes. By the way, some years ago, a Christian singer, Amy Grant, has a song entitled Fat Baby, which pokes fun at the immature Christian who doesn't seem to grow up. And the lyrics of the song go something like this. And I won't sing it. Some of you know that song, but I'll read the lyrics for us. I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar, and that was the end. He's safe, and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week, he gets a spiritual lunch. On Sunday, he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat, little baby. Wah, wah, wah. That's the chorus. He wants his bottle, and he doesn't mean maybe. He samples solid foods once or twice, but he says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. Wah, 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 the chorus. He's been baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, but his daily devotions are stuck in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible and John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you have ever seen. I've always wondered if he'll grow up someday. He's mama's boy, and he likes it that way. If you happen to see him, tell him I say he'll never grow if he never gets fat. He's just a fat, and goes on like that, fat little baby. You know, I believe God doesn't want us to be stunted in our spiritual growth. He wants us to mature spiritually. And that is the message of the book of Colossians. It is God's desire, I believe, in this season of our life as a church, that every believer in BBMC will grow in maturity to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 reads, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." So like I said earlier on, brothers and sisters in Christ, starting today and all the way to the middle of June, by then we hope we can gather back together as a church to worship. We will have this sermon series from the book of Colossians, presenting everyone mature in Christ. So let us pray as we begin this sermon series. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we seek your blessings throughout this new sermon series from the book of Colossians, presenting everyone mature in Christ. As we listen to your word this morning, may your Holy Spirit work in our hearts and in our lives to transform us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for teachable minds and receptive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Allow me to give you a very brief background to Paul's letter to the Colossians. Before we look into today's text throughout the sermon series, I will tell you more about Colossae, but today, just a brief one. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians at about the same time that he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. And so when you read these two letters of Paul, Colossians and Ephesians, we will discover there are many parallels between both of them, quite similar. But the emphasis is quite different. The emphasis in Ephesians is on the church, the body of Christ, how gifted she is, how spiritually endowed by the Holy Spirit she is. But the emphasis in Colossians is on Christ, the head of the church. You see, God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And each person who believes in Jesus Christ is saved and is a part of his body, the church, of which Jesus Christ is the head. In other words, through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, you and I can begin a personal relationship with the one true and living God, your Creator and my Creator. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And this gospel of good news has the power to transform our lives, not just superficially, but from the inside out. So as we look into today's introductory passage to Colossians, verses 1 to 14, we see two things that the gospel can do to us. Firstly, the gospel transforms our attitude. Verses 3 to 8. You see, brothers and sisters, the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to transform our attitudes from the inside out. The first area of change that the gospel brings to our life is inward transformation. And this inward transformation changes the way we see things. It changes the way we see God, the way we see people, the way we look at life. It is from a different perspective. This is not the outward superficial trappings of being a Christian, but it is real fundamental change from within, from the inside out. And here Paul thanked God for three attitudes that he saw in the Colossian Christians. And the three attitudes are faith, love, and hope. So let me read Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this we have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you have heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learn it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. You see, this trilogy of virtue, faith, love, and hope is a favorite of Paul's writings. For example, we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Faith is looking upward towards God. Love is looking outward towards people. And hope is looking forward to the future. Let me repeat that. Faith is the soul looking outward towards God. Love is looking outward towards others. And hope is looking forward to the future. And we can demonstrate faith, love, and hope in our life only when we have understood God's grace in the gospel. That's what verse 6 tells us. You see, brothers and sisters, when we don't work, we don't work up faith, love, and hope in our life just by our sheer human effort. We don't do that. Rather, once we understood and experienced God's grace through the gospel, this is what we talk about in our previous series about being touched by Jesus. Once we understood and experienced God's grace, then this three virtues will just flow out from inside of us. You just flow out very naturally. The first attitudinal change that Paul sees in the Colossian Christians is the emergence of faith. Here Paul says in verse 4, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. See, we are saved by faith and we also live by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So simply put, faith is being persuaded that something is true and then trusting in it. So faith is not simply a blind leap into the dark. True Christian faith is based on evidence. It can be strengthened or shaken based on our personal experience. We all exercise faith every day, each and every day. For example, when we take the lift, you know, in our apartment or in our place of work, when we take the lift, we are exercising faith that the cable will not just snap and then plunge the whole carriage with us inside all the way down. See, we have faith that the lift will work. Perhaps one of the best examples of exercising faith is when we board a plane. You know, I've sat in an airplane many times already, and I'm not afraid of flying, unlike a former Arsenal player, soccer player, Dennis Beckham. I heard that when there was a Champions League game and he had to travel across Europe, he wouldn't fly in a plane with his teammates. He will go by the road. And so that's quite tedious because he's afraid of flying. But I'm not like him. However, I must confess that each time I bought a plane, though I'm not afraid of flying, but each time I bought a plane, there is this slight anxiety that I will make it to my destination and be back safely. Despite this slight anxiety, I still bought the plane, believing that it will be able to do its job well. That, brothers and sisters, is faith. My faith grows because I have enough personal experience sitting in a plane and trusting that the pilots will take the plane to where I want to go and then bring me back home safely. So faith in Christ is very much like this. It requires that we believe and then act on that belief. We must not only believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we must also commit our lives to live for Him in light of what He had done for us on the cross. So that is faith. The second attitudinal change Paul could see in the Colossian Christians is the love that they have for all the saints. Verse 4. Please note that we are to love all the saints, not just some of the saints. You know, it's very easy to love the lovable, but it takes God's power to love those who are difficult, those who are unlovable. And the good news is that God has given us the power to love, yes, even those who are difficult to love. I'm sure you would agree with me that some of the most difficult people to love are the very people who live under the same roof as us, right? And this month, because of the government advisory for us to work or study from home, it is a very good opportunity for us to practice loving our family members rather than getting on one another's nerve. So I want you to turn to your family members right now and say, I love you. Say that, I love you to one another. Okay, trust that you are doing that. See, I believe God sometimes put this difficult person under the same roof or in the same CG or in the same church as us for a purpose, that we may be transformed to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ, to have a love for all the saints, not only some, but for all the saints. Remember, in our own human strength, we can't love this difficult, unlovable people. But once we have understood and experienced the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we have the power to love all people, yes, including the unlovable ones too. There's one more thing that Paul commends the Colossian Christians for, that is their hope, verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. See, brothers and sisters, we stand in faith, we walk in love, and we rest in hope. See, the philosophy of the world is instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. We are not conditioned to hope for anything, and we certainly don't want to wait for anything. But our hope in God and the promises He has made to us, this hope gives us the strength to endure anything because we know that nothing will be able to keep us from our inheritance in Christ. You see, no sickness, no matter how debilitating, no sorrow, no matter how deep, no disappointment, no matter how frustrating, no pain, no matter how piercing, can rob us of the hope that is stored up for us in heaven. That's what verse 5 is saying. See, the Apostle Paul assures us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Hear what Paul says. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. See, hope makes us willing to endure, even sacrifice for future glory. Hope allows us to rest in God's promises. Hope gives us the perspective to live in the here and now with the view to a better future, no matter how difficult the present may be. So that's what the gospel does. Firstly, the gospel transforms our attitude, giving us faith, hope, and love. Then secondly, let's look at how the gospel transforms our actions. So not only inward, manifested outwardly as well. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ not only has the power to transform our attitude, it also has the power to transform our behavior, our actions. Change attitudes result in change actions. What begins to work on the inside of us begins to gradually show out on the outside. And Paul's prayer for the Colossian Christians is that they might live a life worthy of the gospel, worthy of Christ and the gospel. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His gracious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice how Paul described this, our life. He says that our life is a journey. It is a walk, verse 10. We walk the pathway that God has set before us, and we do so in order to be fully pleasing to the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, can you and I honestly say that we are living our life worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way? Or are we just merely pursuing our own petty ambitions or chasing our own little delusive dreams? You see, if our heart's desire is to live our life worthy of the Lord and to please Him in every way, then four characteristics must be evident in our life. So firstly, there must be fruitful service, verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. Verse 10, Colossians chapter 1. You see, Christianity is about living for Christ, not just thinking of Him. It is true that we must meditate upon the Word, seek the Lord in prayer, wait patiently to hear His voice, and worship Him together. But we must also show His love in practical ways to others. We must reach out in kindness and do good deeds. In other words, we must put our faith into practice. This is what Paul meant when he said we should be bearing fruit in every good work. See, as Christians, we are called to lift out our faith by doing good deeds. You know, brothers and sisters, living in this situation, this circumstance that we are in because of the pandemic, let's be in prayer that we will be open to God's leading, how we may show good works. We might be fruitful in doing good deeds to people who are in need. And I believe as the Lord show us how, we will respond in obedience to Him. And so as individual Christians and as a church, we are committed to demonstrating this kind of fruitfulness in our little spheres of influence. And of course, over here in this community here in Pasir Ris. Then the second evidence of our actions when the gospel can transform us is a consistent spiritual discipline. Verses 9 to 10. Verses 9 to 10. So you notice here, verses 9 to 10, Paul talks about the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then in verse 10, he talks about increasing in the knowledge of God. See, the emphasis of Paul's prayer is that we need to grow in our knowledge of God and His will, which can only come through spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the primary source of this knowledge, of course, is the Bible, the Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God has given us this book as the primary source of our spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the more we read the Bible, the more we understand God and His will for our lives and for our ministries. That is why we must study the Word of God diligently and meditate on the truth that we find there. We must not only allow the Bible to merely inform our thinking, but also to transform our lives, our behavior. So, brothers and sisters, especially during this circuit breaker when we are at home, let's not be distracted with too many things that we can do at home. Let us spend time digging into the Word of God and knowing His wisdom and His understanding. Let me challenge us, brothers and sisters, as your pastor, to make the study of God's Word a priority in your life, both in your personal devotion, and then when you come together online to study the Bible in your CG. So that's the second evidence, consistent spiritual discipline. When we don't have this evidence in our life, it shows that we are not growing and maturing. And then thirdly, divine power, which is evident in our life and ministry. Verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience. You see, brothers and sisters, let us be very honest with ourselves. This is where most of us falter. We often live our life and serve God in our own human strength and power. Many Christians are using their own human wisdom to manipulate people and yes, even manipulate God to pursue their own personal agendas and to get things done their way. Brothers and sisters, you and I need divine power to live a life worthy of the Lord. We need divine power to serve God and carry out His mission for our lives individually as well as a church. Jesus told His disciples to wait, you know, after He rose from the dead, before He after He ascended into heaven, and He told His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they had received this power. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had been personally trained by our Lord Jesus. And now they were given a commission to go and tell what they knew and what they had heard. But he knew that they couldn't do this without his power. And so Jesus told them to wait. They were to wait in Jerusalem until the power come on the day of Pentecost. So verse 8, Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So the disciples knew the truth, they had the knowledge, but they also needed the power. For them to be effective witnesses, they need more than just mere knowledge. They will need more than all the experience with Jesus. They will need the ongoing presence of God in the person of His Holy Spirit. This is what His power is. We are told that this divine power, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, this divine power gives us the ability to endure and to be patient. We are going through a very challenging season now because of the coronavirus pandemic. But when you and I are living and serving in the power of God, we can have the hope in the midst of this difficult time. We can have patience and perseverance and never lose hope. And then finally, the fourth evidence of the transforming power of the gospel is joyful thanksgiving. Verse 11 and 12. With joy, giving thanks to the Father. While constant whining and griping is a clear sign of immaturity, no matter how many years you have been a Christian, joyfully giving thanks is a significant characteristic of a truly mature Christian. Indeed, brothers and sisters, you and I have very much to be thankful for. See, of all the people in the world, we should be the most thankful. Think of all that God has done for us. And especially during this crisis, we must thank God for our national leaders, the leadership that they provide, instead of criticizing them. Okay, if we criticize with hindsight, it's always 2020. But let's lift up our national leaders in prayer that God will continue to give them wisdom to lead us as a nation. So we have a lot to be thankful for. We can still go out to buy our food. Even though we cannot eat in the hawker center, we can buy them from the market to cook ourselves or to buy when we do not want to cook from the hawker center. And we are indeed a privileged country. And of course, for the greatest blessing for which we should be thankful is our salvation. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be forgiven and our eternal destiny is settled once and for all. You see, transformation will happen in our life. Our attitudinal as well as behavioral changes will take place. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how is it that some of us are not experiencing these changes and transformation as we should? I can think of two reasons. One reason is that there are blockages in our life that is preventing the power of the gospel to change us from the inside out. And such blockages may include bitterness and unforgiveness that is hindering the power of the gospel from working in our life. And I believe God allows us to go through this season when we have to stay home and interact with our loved ones. May the Holy Spirit, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, bring about healing in our relationship, especially with family members. Let us be reconciled to one another. The other reason is that there are distractions in our life. that is preventing the power of the gospel to work in our life. Brothers and sisters, this circuit breaker allows us to stay home and let us not be distracted with all the things. Let us focus on worshiping God. We are so privileged that through the internet, we have so many avenues of worship, instrumental, Chinese, English, where we can focus on God. One of my favorite is, of course, country gospel hymns. And we can worship God online, and we can read His Word and allow God and His Word to transform our lives. You know, as we close, let me read to us these resolutions written by an unknown author. And it is not too long. These resolutions written by an unknown author, and this is what he says. Give up complaining. Focus on gratitude. Give up pessimism. Become an optimist. Give up harsh judgments. Think kind thoughts. Give up worrying. Trust divine providence. Give up discouragement. Be full of hope. Give up bitterness. Turn to forgiveness. Give up hatred. Return good for evil. Give up negativism. Be positive. Give up anger. Practice patience. Give up pettiness. Put on maturity. Give up gloom. Enjoy the beauty that is all around you. Give up jealousy. Pray for trust. Give up gossiping. Control your tongue. Give up sin. Turn to virtue. See, all this resolution, there's one word that can describe any person who can live up to all these resolutions. And that one word is maturity. And that is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, transforming both our attitudes and our behavior, presenting us mature in Christ. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to grow up. Let us pray. God and our gracious loving Father, thank you for your word this morning. We want to thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, Lord, we can be saved. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is working in our lives, transforming us from the inside out. Lord, when we hear your word today, we ask that you will help us to be doers of your word. Lord, may your Spirit work in our lives, faith, love, and hope. And let us show forth in our attitudes, and our actions and our behaviors, fruitfulness in our life, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate how you have changed us to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for doing this deep work within us. And now may the Lord's people receive his benediction. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen.